perhaps not, depending on your particular postcode. It's a rather grey Friday here, with the promise of patchy rain nearby in London. Still, a good day for staying indoors and contemplating the relentless march of, well, whatever it is we're calling artificial intelligence this week. It's easy to get swept up, isn't it? The sheer volume of pronouncements, the dazzling displays of capability, all designed to impress. It reminds me of something Alan Turing once observed, about how finding a truly exceptional mind, a genuine innovator, makes everyone else appear so ordinary, and that, I think, is rather the point we're aiming for today. Separating the genuinely significant from the merely loud. We've had a rather busy week, as usual, and we'll be sifting through it all to find those signals worth paying attention to. This is Turing's Torch, Artificial Intelligence Weekly, the bits that matter, minus the hype. You can see a pattern if you stop looking for fireworks and start noticing the plumbing. This week offered a handful of developments that, taken together, say more about where artificial intelligence is headed than any single press release could. First, a quiet but important finding: conversational AIs can slip advertising into their replies in ways most users won't spot. A chatbot recommends a product inside a helpful answer, and that suggestion reads like impartial advice. Traditional ads sit in boxes you learn to ignore. Dialogue does not. Language that sounds like a friend is an obvious vector for commercial nudges. Hundreds of millions of people already ask these systems for shopping, health, and relationship advice. If even a small share of those answers are monetized, platforms collect fees and user behavior shifts before anyone reads the terms. Consumer protection rules assume a clear line between editorial and advertising. Dialogue blurs that line. Detection will need access to logs or provenance metadata, which platforms often treat as confidential. Practical countermeasures exist: machine-readable disclosure tags, provenance headers, independent detection tools. But they all force a trade-off between trust and the conversational illusion users like. So the sober point is simple: a brilliant confidant can be turned into an ad channel without most people noticing. And that matters for trust, regulation, and who gets paid. Closely related is the push to turn assistants into agents that act rather than just reply. Alibaba's new model claims a 35-hour autonomy window and is pitched as an orchestration engine for long-running enterprise tasks. The claim sounds impressive and invites skepticism. To sustain actions over hours, you need more than a clever reply. You need state management, idempotent operations, robust tool integrations, and ways to prevent small errors from compounding into disaster. An agent that can act for a long time concentrates both power and risk. It can automate monitoring, patching, reporting, and multi-step deployments. It can also make cascading mistakes very quickly if permissions, audit trails, and fail-safe behaviors are not rock solid. The marketing number is a target, not proof. Real judgment will come from the first organizations that run these agents at scale and publish their incident reports. That shift from models as answers to models as executors is what products like Copilot Kit are trying to address. They bundle a UI protocol, a test harness, and a runtime server to move agents out of demos and into engineering practice. Those components are the kind of boring, necessary stuff that determines whether an artificial intelligence system survives real users. A UI contract prevents subtle mismatches between front-end and agent logic. A test harness lets you run repeatable safety and regression checks. A runtime coordinates state, retries, and multiple agents. Put together, they reduce brittle integrations and surprise outages. They also highlight a broader governance question. Standardization helps, but only if the protocol is open and the tests cover safety, fairness, and adversarial cases. A convenient runtime could become a single point of lock-in or surveillance if teams cannot replace or audit it without breaking everything else. Packaging orchestration is useful, packaging is not a substitute for hard, independent audit. Operations and money sit behind these engineering moves, which makes DataRobot's new benchmarks timely. They report three pragmatic production figures: maximum sustained concurrency, end-to-end latency at that concurrency, and cost per million tokens. Those are not glamorous numbers, but they are the ones you hang budgeting and incident plans on. Too often teams over-provision or discover their limits during a spike. Benchmarks give a baseline for finance, SREs and product managers to argue about capacity rationally. Benchmarks are useful maps, though not the territory. Synthetic runs use steady loads and clean prompts. Real traffic does not. Prompt drift, burstiness from a viral post, or third-party outages can blow past a bench's assumptions. Vendor-supplied tests have incentives to favor particular architectures or batch sizes. Use the numbers as a starting point, then pair them with shadow traffic, canary releases, and instrumentation that ties latency to GPU utilization and actual successful responses. The only cost that matters long-term is cost per useful response, not cost per token. Microsoft's Fara 1.5 family is another sign of direction. Browser operating agents trained mostly on synthetic interactions and available in smaller, deployable sizes. A browser agent can read pages, click links and fill forms like a person. That unlocks automation for research, data extraction and accessibility aids. It also raises privacy, scraping and impersonation risks. Smaller models widen access to these capabilities, which is efficient but raises misuse potential. Synthetic training pipelines accelerate iteration, but they bake the creator's assumptions into behavior. A tidy benchmark score is useful, but the web is messy. A 72% on a standardized test is not necessarily robust when pages are deceptive or redesigned. The critical questions are about how permissions are managed, what gets logged, and whether misbehavior is visible to operators and auditors. These capability announcements come with a recurring theme: impressive demos and headline numbers are easy. Reliable operation is hard. That becomes painfully clear in scientific applications, where three less glamorous threads deserve attention. First, artificial intelligence for science usually means tools that help discrete steps predicting structures, suggesting molecules. Organizing data, not a general scientist in a box. Second, world models are technical tools for internal simulation and planning, not mystical inner lives. They can help in controlled settings but often break when pushed into chaotic real labs. Third, the lottery ticket idea about pruning networks is useful, but dependent on architecture, dataset and training regime. Funders and startups will invest based on whether these approaches reduce cost or accelerate discovery. A method that shaves months off a drug campaign attracts capital quickly. Sadly, reproducibility is an economic issue as much as a technical one. If results do not replicate, they become speculation rather than an investment. That is why reproducible, run-and-poke examples matter. This week somebody turned a recurrent EPTH transformer idea into a runnable Colab lab, complete with two model flavors. A look inside the injection matrix and sanity checks like measuring spectral radius. Recurrent EPTH transformers loop computation inside a block, rather than stacking layers, and the spectral radius helps judge numerical stability. Sparse mixture of experts and loop-scaled reasoning are combined to explore trade-offs. The notebook is a fine educational tool. It lowers the barrier to experimentation and makes architectures inspectable. It also flattens complexity. A single-GPU Colab run will not reveal multi-node synchronization issues, router collapse in MO, or long-tail failure modes that appear only at scale. So run the notebook to learn and test hypotheses, but do not treat it as evidence that a trick will survive being paid to work full-time. All of these developments pull at the same loose thread: we are moving from clever models to systems that act, scale and earn money. That transition brings questions of control, regulation, and labor into sharper focus. Business models influence behavior. If a platform can monetize conversational recommendations, it has an incentive to do so. If an organization can reduce headcount by agentizing workflows, it will. If smaller deployable models lower barriers, capabilities will diffuse and so will misuse. Regulators, auditors, and procurement teams will have to decide what counts as acceptable automation, what needs human oversight, and what demands auditable trails. Meanwhile, the engineering work tests, protocols, benchmarks, runtime governance will determine who controls the infrastructure and who bears the risk when things go wrong. A practical yardstick is simple. Demand reproducible tests that reflect messy real-world usage. Treat vendor numbers as conversation starters, not guarantees. Require disclosure about when recommendations are commercial. Insist on audit trails, explicit permission models, and independent evaluations before ceding long-running tasks to an agent. That combination of transparency and skeptical engineering will be where real safety and trust get built. So notice the plumbing. The flashy claims tell you where investment is flowing. The hard questions about trust, governance, and cost will determine which of those claims actually stick. Well, it's certainly been another rather forlorn week in the world of artificial intelligence, hasn't it? Keeping a clear head amidst the noise is, I find, increasingly important. For those who prefer their artificial intelligence news delivered with a little less fanfare, you'll find our daily briefing waiting for you at jonathanharris.online. One email, no undue excitement, just the facts. And as ever, I must thank our sponsor, my own humble offering, Smart Buildings, artificial intelligence powered efficiency and sustainability. You'll find it in the ebooks section, should you wish to delve a little deeper. That's your lot for this week's Turing's Torch. If you want the daily brief, head to jonathanharris.online. Same time next week, try not to believe the press releases.